A Chinese woman eating a whole bat at a fancy restaurant has gone viral as China and other countries in the world are trying to contain the spread of the Wuhan virus, codenamed 2019-nCoV.
In America today, they're lining up for firepower.
We're just concerned that people might be getting a little crazy.
Now they can just say corona.
لئن بسطت إلي يدك لتقتلني ما أنا بباسط يدي إليك لأقتلك.
If I don't see you guys in this world, we're gonna see you in Jannah.
This is the deep, the This is the
Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Assalamu alaikum, greens of peace. How are you doing, Sheikh? How's everything over there in Colorado?
Alhamdulillah. Everything is doing wonderful. Everybody is anxious, Eddie. You know, there is the level of anxiety and fear is really mounting. Of course, you know, the way that non-Muslims address the subject, you know, out of extra precaution, they wanted to, you know, scare people so that they can take the measures they are advising, but they don't know that they are actually scaring them in a way. And I don't know, what is your take on it?
What I was thinking, it's a great reality check for all of us. It's kind of surreal, isn't it? It's you've heard this term, surreal.
Yeah, I heard it. It's
a great reality check to really who we should depend on and how things can take a drastic change. I mean, in this case, a lot of times for the better, or in this case, what seems for the worse. But it just kind of has us to put ourselves in check on really who we should be depending on.
You know, Eddie, it is a test of faith. To say the least. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in an authentic hadith, hadith akhrajahu al-Imam Ahmad min hadith Abi Umama radiyallahu anhu al-Bahili, qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, inna ruh al-Qudusi nafatha fi ru'i. The Holy Spirit, which is in reference to Jibra'il, alayhi salam, Jibreel, revealed the following by breathing into me, the following meanings, the following things. أَنَّ نَفْسًا لَنْ تَمُوتْ. No soul shall die. حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ أَجَلَهَا وَرِزْقَهَا. Until the soul lives the time it was written for it to live, and until the soul collects the provision which was destined to collect. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. So have, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek your provision from lawful means. That's the provision of faith during the time of calamities and hardship. A believer always, Eddie, resorts to his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he believes nothing happens in the face of this earth unless Allah, number one, knew it, wrote it 50,000 years before he created the heavens and the earth, willed for it to happen, and he created it. Can you imagine that? So when you have that attitude and you trust Allah's wisdom, Allah's divine wisdom, then, you know, you will certainly deal with the situation totally different than people who do not have the provision of faith. The immunity, the treasure of believing in something. And that's the key, you know. Stuff like this, we know. Imagine, this COVID-19 is a relief for some Muslims, a relief from sins. The hadith is authentic. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, anything which befalls a believer, depression, harm, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went down as far as a thorn, which would go into your body accidentally, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expiate your sins.
Yeah, subhanallah.
A relief also in the sense of death. I mean, what is the worst case scenario here? Is dying. It actually can be a reward. And we have companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Brother Eddie, who died in similar pandemic like this, Ta'un Imwas, which took place in the greater Syria the year 1800 after Hijrah. Can you imagine? Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Amr ibn al-Jarrah, died. Abu Ubaidah, by the way, is one of the 10 companions. Hadith says at-Tirmidhi, for Sunnah at-Tirmidhi. One of the people who was giving glad tidings of Jannah. He died in this ta'un. Mu'ad ibn Jabal, can you imagine? Mu'ad ibn Jabal died in this ta'un, died in this plague, Mu'ad as well. Mu'ad ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. In a way, it is a reward. And a person who dies in such pandemic, of course, dies as a Muslim, gains the rank of a martyr. Hadith of Sahih Imam Muslim, Hadith Abi Hurairah, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, one day he asked his companions, ما تعدون الشهيد فيكم? Who do you consider a martyr amongst you? They said, O Messenger of Allah, whoever dies in the cause of Allah is considered to be a martyr. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then the martyrs in my ummah will be few. And then he started naming, and one of the things which he named, وَمَنْ مَاتَ فِي الطَّاعُونِ فَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. And whoever dies in a plague, in a pandemic like this, is considered to be a martyr. Of course, if he dies as a Muslim, it's a relief, it's a reward, it's a reminder for us, Eddie.
Yeah.
It's a reminder for the living.
Go ahead, finish, I'm sorry.
The world has gone crazy, Eddie.
Yeah. I think this is what really resonates with a lot of people. You know, in Islam, you have all the answers to the million-dollar questions. You know, people's are confused. There's uncertainty, but you go from a land of uncertainty to certainty in Islam. Islam connecting you with your Creator, with your purpose in life, why you're here, where you're going. Everything is there. Now, we see that the reality check that I was talking about, and this is what I want to get your feedback on, is that we know now this brings solace to the heart. You know that at the end you put trust in your Creator, God Almighty, Allah, and you know that there's tremendous reward for all your suffering. You're not attached to this temporary world. You have it in your hand, not in your heart. That's how we're supposed to have it. And now people are starting to see everything just crumble in front of them. They're seeing everything, you know, people's jobs are at stake, their livelihood, you know, tomorrow food can, Allah forbid, can be cut off. You're basically seeing everything, it's a domino effect. I mean, we're optimistic as Muslims, but we just see everything that people thought as something that this is what I live for, this is what I love. It's like just vanishing slowly, and it's brought people down to the level of fighting for toilet paper. Right?
Amazing. Amazing.
Yes.
The scenes.
So,
yes.
So you get to see where on one spectrum you see people who have just lived for this dunya, for this world, and now they're about to lose it and the panic is kicking in. Now you see the other side where you see now, okay, it should be a mercy for people who come back to their Creator, come back to Allah. This should be a mercy, so it good can come from it. We start to look, but now I want to ask you, how can we, as those who believe in the one God, just like Jesus, Moses, Abraham, the last and final message of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Those who are on pure monotheism, who want to live a good, righteous life, who want to get to Jannah, how can we be more proactive, meaning that we've seen this now, and many Muslims have fallen into the trap, that now, how can we, inshallah, we get through this, but how can we also, we can be more proactive? You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he dug a trench, right? He didn't just say, okay, I believe in Allah, but you take the necessary action. We know the hadith for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the man came to him and told him, you know, should I just believe in Allah and leave the camel or tie? He said, tie the camel, put your trust in Allah.
Yeah.
For next time, now these things can happen where we are being more self-sustaining. We are not at the mercy where tomorrow if...
I think you're making a point there regarding us as believers. How can we go back to Allah? Is that your question? Yes.
At the same time, looking for, in every situation, looking for the good in situations, from the smallest things to the big things. I was thinking also about being more proactive. Now, tomorrow, that if something like this was to happen, where we're less dependent and we're more self-sufficient in ways of, let's say, farming, agricultural, in ways where tomorrow, now, let's say, what happens if the practical things, if the stores, they run out of food, you know? If are there other means? You know, I often think of, you know, when you think of a community like the Amish, for instance, you know, who are kind of totally cut off from a lot of modern technology, but Islam doesn't call us to go to that extreme. But developing, let's say, our communities where we have agriculture, we have farming, we have our own meat, our own food, we have things like this. These are ideas to throw around because people would never think that something would come to fruition like this, but it's happened. So the believer doesn't get stung by the same hole twice. So these are ideas that we throw around, and then hopefully people can start to run with these things and make great things happen. So tomorrow, now, hopefully some hearts can awaken up and maybe put some projects together that we don't find ourselves in the same hole where we're dependent. And now some of these resources are cut off, and you're so dependent on Walgreens and so dependent on Aldi and whatnot, and that's it. When they run out, you're done.
I'm going to take this to a higher level.
Please, go ahead.
And I read something on social media just this afternoon. Just this afternoon, Eddie. And you can imagine, you know, that argument or that posting, it means whole a lot. Of course, we shouldn't be making dua against non-Muslims. That's how the person started his posting. He said, "Oh Muslims, please do not make dua against non-Muslims until they find out a cure for COVID-19 for us."
Yeah.
Can you imagine that statement? It means the world, man.
Wait, say that. So he said, don't make dua until they find a...
Don't make dua against them.
Yeah.
Until they find a cure for us Muslims.
That's horrible. Yeah, this is a horrible...
That's the whole... Well, it's horrible, but it tells you the mindset of Muslims.
This is kind of twisted, yeah.
It's totally twisted. First of all, we shouldn't be making dua against other people. We should make dua for their guidance. This is number one. Number two... What happened to you as a Muslim trying to find a cure for this, trying to find solutions for this, not to be stuck like everybody else, like you mentioned, with running out of food and running out of basics because you're just used to going to... you see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Eddie, has indicated that we have to seek the means. Mm-hmm. And seeking the means is part of the reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in that situation, like right now we have that trending, closing the masajid, not closing the masajid. Again, this is a means. We cannot address this subject using emotions and feelings. And you see, Islam emphasizes the substantial necessity on every Muslim or need on every Muslim to seek the means in their hands, regardless of how big or small it is. And you used a very profound example, the example of the trench.
Yeah.
That's
a means now. That's taking a means. They could have just sat there and done nothing and say, hey, we rely on Allah, but now they're taking the means. So you gave one example now. Okay, using the best of minds to go ahead and find cures for these things. Second one, I was talking about agricultural farming, being productive. We know the Prophet said that if the day of judgment was to come, this is that optimism is beautiful in our deen. If it was to come upon you, then you go ahead and if you have a sapling, if you have a seed, go ahead and plant it, right? So we're not pessimists, we're optimists. But at the same time, you have to be pragmatic and you also have to be proactive. So another thing, Sheikh, maybe you got some ideas. You know, with all this growing hate and Islamophobia and whatnot, obviously doing dawah and educating people, open houses. But at the same time, I mean, let me ask you something. Are you practicing your constitutional right to bear arms?
Across the United States tonight, several cities have shut down, closing schools, restaurants and implementing curfews. One of the more sinister sights, queues of customers lining up to panic buy weapons, fearing civil unrest and riots.
Forget toilet paper. In America today, they're lining up for firepower.
We're just concerned that people might be getting a little crazy.
Anthony Gordon among dozens waiting for hours outside this gun store in Los Angeles.
I've always been on the fence about owning a gun, but we had a family discussion about it and thought it was the right move at this time.
Preparing to protect themselves in the event of civil unrest.
This is unprecedented.
In the United States, Amelia Adams, 9 News.
I'm just throwing ideas. Do you think that I don't have arms? Okay, do you think that every American should now, let's say an imam especially who can possibly be under threat should practicing self-defense, a martial art? The community should also be learning how to defend themselves and their families. Should they practice their? I'm just asking. We're just throwing ideas around. Should they, in all this hate and fear, you have 250 plus functioning KKK organizations, these people who will lynch you tomorrow if they had a chance, most likely. You have a lot of these people out there who will take these opportunities to.
لَئِن بَسَطْتَ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This is what Abel said to Cain.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to extend your hand to kill me, I'm not going to do the same.
Absolutely, yes.
I'm just going to try to defend myself in the least.
Yes.
But I'm not going to inflict. That's my
That's our us. That's how we should be. We are people of peace. Yeah. We spread peace. But at the same time, what we're saying is, where you had in New Zealand,
the horrific terror attack that unfolded in New Zealand overnight. Not one, but two mosques in Christchurch were targeted, the country's worst mass shooting ever. At least 49 people were killed and dozens wounded during services. They were in prayer. Victims who did get out covered in blood were rushed to the hospital. The gunman who wrote of white nationalism was armed with at least two semi-automatic weapons and two rifles.
You had someone who came up in the masjid and gunned down 50 people. Then you had, not too long ago, a muezzin who was attacked, and an old man put him in a chokehold and saved the day. So should we learn how to do chokeholds, meaning to defend ourselves against these lunatics, these people who are out there who want to bring harm while we're trying to bring peace? And should we be more proactive in the growing environment of hate and terrorism that's being done towards innocent human beings?
Absolutely. And self-defense, absolutely.
That's the key, self-defense.
It's lawful. This is number one. Number two, it is legal in Islam to do this. It's lawful in Islam and it is legal according to the law of the land. You can do it 100%.
You know what was selling out more than food
Weapons.
Yeah.
I read that and I was shocked to hear.
Yeah,
that.
I was shocked also, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, why people are buying guns?
So let me ask you this. Let's paint a scenario. You're a law-abiding citizen. You're in your home. You do all the good stuff, pay your taxes. You want good for humanity. You're a deliverer of peace. But now, you know, there is these situations happen. Things starts breaking down, and now you're at your home. You have your family in your home. How are you prepared if these criminals come to your home and try to inflict harm upon yourself and your family? See, these situations like this that are happening should have us start to think, how do we defend ourselves when people start coming to our homes and they want to bring harm to you and your family? How do you defend yourself? You have no idea. You have 911. You have to call 911, obviously. You have to call 911, yeah. Right? But let's say, you know, it just like with everything's happening, they're all spread out. They're all over the place.
People might be getting a little crazy. I've always been on the fence about owning a gun, but we had a family discussion about it and thought it was the right move at this time.
Preparing to protect themselves in the event of civil unrest.
Everyone is entitled to defend himself.
That's why these people went to buy the guns. They went to buy the guns because...
Right. People might be getting a little crazy.
Yeah, but we're so scared of guns. I don't like weapons, but it has you thinking now, Shig. It has you thinking like, you know, the worst case scenarios. We rely on the creator of the heavens and earth, but we also have to be pragmatic. And what happens? You're the Shig. You got to start talking to us. So
I really at this stage, Eddie, a lot of people are misinformed about Islam.
Yeah.
And my brother, I don't care less what is the agenda of every individual living in the West is. But I tell you, our agenda is to show people the beauty of that religion, mm-hmm. to show people Islam,
yep.
to call people to the monotheism, to do the same like Jesus, to do the same like Moses, to worship Allah. The creator, not the created.
Yes.
And we have to conduct ourselves the way our messenger and his companions conducted themselves. A lot of them were killed. A lot of them were harmed in the cause because their focus was the cause. And he just cited the trench.
Yeah.
Imagine all the evil powers, plural, in the face of this earth, got together with a mutual agenda to wipe Islam from the face of this earth. But Allah protected his religion. But also some people died in the cause.
Yeah.
And that's what mattered. So, you know, we can defend ourselves, but I'm really here to show people the beauty of this religion. And, you know, and somehow, ihsan, the status of ihsan, the level of ihsan, when you give da'wah, is hardly highly recommended. Mm-hmm. We have, as imams and callers to Islam and the way that we call to Islam, we have a lot of people who don't like us.
Uh-huh.
Even in the Muslim community themselves, they don't like you. They don't like how you're doing it. And they inflict harm on you, but you still have to just move on, you know?
So
I really shouldn't be investing myself too much into that fear of
no.
We really have to look into the area here of Allah is the best of protectors. Yes, seek the means, do your best. But what if it happens that you die in the cause?
Yeah.
قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ مَاتَ دُونَ أَهْلِهِ وَمَالِهِ فَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. This is another way to earn the rank of a martyr, that you die defending your family and your wealth and your home. You're a martyr.
Yeah.
And a martyr, someone who goes right away to Jannah.
Do you
I know, Eddie, where you're coming from, and I know that you're trying to address a lot of minds out there, not just the mind of an imam. I know that you're trying to accommodate a lot of people who are thinking in that line. I know 100% that you don't think in that line, but I know that's what you're trying to do. And you know, just find your fortress in the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seek whatever means you have in your hand and rely on Allah. And Allah will protect you and your family, inshallah.
How would you give the explanation of this hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, soon the best property of a Muslim, one who submits to the will of God, will be a flock of sheep he takes to the top of the mountain or the valleys of the rainfall, fleeing with his deen from tribulations. Some people start to reference this now at these times. Is this a good parallel?
The hadith is narrated by Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu. يوشك أن يكون خير مال المسلم مال يتبع به شعاف الجبال ومواقع القطر يفر بدينه من الفتن. Time will come when the best, like you translated the hadith, and I'm re-quoting it just for me to reflect upon its meanings before I explain what it entails. The provision or the earning of a Muslim is to be a shepherd, not in a place where there are people, rather a place where there is nobody. Basically, the top of a mountain or a place. Basically, you're running away from the people because of the amount of trials and tribulations in the area of your religion. The subject, Eddie, is in the area of what is recommended: to mix with the people or to isolate yourself from the people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered this question: to mix with them, provided that you're protecting your religion, you're not paying off your religion as a price to be with the people, and to be patient on their harm to you, is a lot better to isolating yourself from them. The Prophet answered this. So the criteria here is, am I protecting my religion while I'm mixing with the people, even though they are harming me? Then it's a lot better than isolating yourself and going somewhere in a cave or somewhere else. Then always in Islam, Islam looks at the الخير الذي يتعدى للغير. The goodness which gets passed on to others is more rewarded in Islam than the goodness which is exclusive to you. إن تبدو الصدقات فنعم ما هي. إن تبدو الصدقات فنعم ما هي. When you give صدقة openly, provided that you're keen on sincerity, you have sincerity in your heart, but you're giving it openly with the intention of encouraging others to give, is much better. وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَاءِ. But if you conceal it and you give it in secret and give it to the poor, فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It's good for you only. But the other one is much better. Why? Because you will encourage other Muslims to give. So if you mix with the people, for sure you will benefit them. You will teach them, you will educate them. But quoting this hadith at this time, I'm telling you, I find my best place is inside my office where I sit with my books and, but I still have to go out and earn a living and that's, part of it and that's part of the test. And al-fitna hadi, subhanallah, that we face outside, it's there and you can't stop it and you can't control it. So the answer is quoting this hadith as an excuse to withdraw from the community and the society and do nothing, that's not a good thing. You should be out there, hopefully engaged in helping the ummah, teaching the people the religion, trying to better the people's understanding, give da'wah. Yes, you will face what you have to face. And that's the, it's called the inheritance of prophethood. Mirathun Nubuwa. We're not prophets. Our messenger is the last. But if we are to do his work in the manner he did it, he had enemies. He was called names. His family was attacked in their honor. He was called possessed, lying. And that's the share that you get. And that's the fitna. As long as this does not affect your sincerity, your tawheed, your religion, it doesn't take you away from the truth, it doesn't get you to compromise, your reward is tremendous in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
What do you think? It's very interesting. Another thing we can see here is from this, what is being called as the coronavirus, and we know that this is what the experts say, that this is another strand of it. This has been around, this corona, but then you have it mutate and you have other strands of it that come out. But it's amazing that you have to see this coronavirus, you have to magnify it by 100,000. You can't see it with the naked eye. It's amazing. But now when you ask people, like, again, people who haven't seen this coronavirus, they're relying, and we're not...
You know I'm laughing? Why? You know I'm laughing? Because I did a video last night, and I know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
I know. You know, we have the atheists who refuse to believe in Allah.
Exactly.
Because they need to see Allah.
Exactly.
You know,
yes.
Who are the people? You know, Eddie, who are the people who are running to the shelves now and grabbing all the food?
Exactly. So that's my look.
That's them.
But let me ask you, Sheikh.
And they haven't seen the virus.
That's the point. That's what I'm trying to make. And I want to go deeper. They're relying. We are all relying on testimony. Am I right? We're relying on testimony, which a lot of the testimony from the people we're getting, I don't think Buhari would accept most of their transmission. They
no.
Right?
I think there are a lot of heresy, a lot of rumors about this COVID.
Yeah. So now, but we're practicing what the deen tells us to practice, to be safe and to protect ourselves, so we can protect the elderly and people from potentially getting hurt and dying. But we are just pretty much following the testimony, believing in the testimony without really seeing the things ourselves. But now the correlation is that we have people who have come through history who have a greater track record, a pristine character, never to have lied. And this is one of the signs that if people reflect, they have a greater right to be believed. People who warned people about the Day of Judgment, people who called people to worship one and only one God, the Creator, not the creation. But now when you think, you know, for the atheists that you specifically mentioned, who didn't see this virus, didn't see this or any of this, he's relying on this testimony of people. But now if you think and you correlate the two, isn't that ironic? Just when you, can you?
That shows you that twisted minds of people sometimes. Yeah. And something amazing, and I hope the people, you know, especially students of knowledge, are not going to go hard on me because I'm doing this. You know why we cannot see this virus? I'm sure you know why. Because it's very what?
It's not, but the human eye can't see it.
You can see it with the naked eye because it's so small. Yeah, actually, I read that you have to have a magnifying glass 400 times. That's what I heard.
I heard 100,000 times more.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you know why we cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because of His greatness.
Yes.
Because of His magnificence.
Allahu Akbar.
Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu narrates this hadith in Sahih Imam Muslim. قَامَ فِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِخَمْسِ كَلِمَاتِ. One day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up and he delivered five meaningful words. I'm going to jump to the fifth one. Inna Allah la yanam wa ma yanbaghi lahu an yanam yakhfidu al-qista wa yarfa'u yurfa'u ilayya 'amalu al-layl qabla 'amali an-nahar. Hijabuhu an-nur. The veil between us and Allah is made out of light. Law kashafahu, if this veil is lifted, what will happen? Everything will burn. لأحرقت صبحات وجهه منتهى إليه بصره من خلقه. Everything will, because you cannot handle the greatness of Allah. You cannot comprehend, you cannot, these little eyes cannot look into the greatness of Allah subhanahu. Imagine the sun is one of the created things by Allah. Just, you know, when you're driving in the highway and you see the sun just shining into your eyes, what do you need to do? You bring that thing down, right? In the car down, because he can't look, and this is a created thing. So that shows you, Brother Eddie, the beauty of Iman, the beauty of faith, and believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, wallahi, brothers and sisters in Islam, the best bounty that a Muslim has, especially at these times, is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because I know, even if I die in this pandemic, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a better plan for me. You know what? Even if I get if I get it, Allah has a good plan for me. Because listen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always turns, if you believe in Him, always turns something bad to be good. Bad according to you, to be good at the end. So that's the beauty of Islam. Imagine the people who do not believe in Allah. What is their position now? They are scared. They are afraid. They hear every single rumor out there, and they are quarantined over a virus which they cannot see. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah ala al-Islam.
And like you were saying, you look for the good in all situations, and it's a part of our deen to be optimistic. Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth, loves for us to be optimistic. Is that correct? Optimism?
Always.
Is this authentic hadith that I'm paraphrasing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the optimistic slave, the one who is optimistic?
Well, the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to be optimistic.
Yes.
And him, especially Eddie, at these times. You know, I go back to the trench. While the Muslims were digging the trench, Eddie, this incident happened. A group of diggers, of believers who were digging that trench, they came across a huge rock covered beneath the sand. They could not break it. So they immediately reported the matter to the Prophet ﷺ, the leader, the Amir. So the Prophet ﷺ himself took the axe, and he came and he started hammering this rock. And you know, when metal and rock collide,
sparks flying. You got sparks flying.
Imagine in this situation, the Prophet is telling his companions what? Allahu Akbar. Islam will enter the palaces of the Rome.
He's saying God is the greatest, and this is a prophecy now.
Islam, which we're standing for, our cause here, will get to the Roman Empire.
Submission to the Allahu will of the Creator, Akbar. Not the creation.
Allahu Akbar. Islam will go to Persia. Not just to Persia. It will enter the palaces of Persia. Allahu Akbar.
God is
Islam
the greatest.
Will get to Yemen. Imagine in that situation. To the extent that actually there were some hypocrites amongst the Muslims, and we know the campaign of hypocrisy started in Medina. They said, Allah documented this in the Quran. إِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ غَرَّ هَؤُلَاءِ دِينُهُمْ. The hypocrites would say, look at these guys. They cannot even fight an army, and they are digging a trench in order for them not to advance. And they are saying that they're going to go to the Roman Empire. You see, that's the attitude of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially at these times. And that's what a believer, you must give good news to the people. Listen, guys, Allah is in control. Allah will take care. Listen, I love this hadith. Wallahi, out of this world. Ubad ibn Samit, one of the Ansar, was dying, Eddie. His son, Al-Walid, was out of town. So Al-Walid heard that his father is going through the agonies of death. So he immediately got on his horse and he ran back to Medina, wanting to catch at least a final moment with his father. Ubadah was a learned companion, by the way. He narrated a lot of hadith as well. So when he entered into the room, he said, Assalamu alaykum ya abati. Assalamu alaykum, my father. I came running to hear a final word from you. Wasiyya. Awsini. Give me the best wasiyya that you can give. You know what he said to him? First of all, he was laying down because he was dying. He said to the people, Aq'iduni. Help me sit down. And he looked at his son and he said, Ya bunay, my son. Innaka lan tu'min. Lan tudrik haqiqat al-iman. Ta'am al-iman. You will never be able to attain the sweetness of faith, the knowledge of iman, until you believe. أن ما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك وأن ما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك. That whatever inflicted you was not to miss you, and whatever missed you was not to inflict you. Imagine this attitude. Imagine when you woke up. Yes, seeking the means. Listen, seeking the means. I'm going to seek the means. But what if I get it? What if I happen to die? Alhamdulillah, قدر الله وما شاء فعل. That's the attitude of a believer. And you cannot pay for this. You cannot pay for this. Because this has to come from within. Because of your tasdeeq, because of your certainty, because of your faith in Allah, because of your belief in the hereafter, because of your belief in qada wal qadr. But again, we go back to Umar. You know, when Umar ended up in the midst of that plague in Syria, so he was around Jerusalem area, and the area was not inflected yet, because the original plague or pandemic or ta'un happened in a city called Hamwas. So Umar wanted to go and visit the troops there. So the people said to him, listen, there is a plague there. At this time, by the way, they did not have any information, should they go or should they not. So Umar in the morning, you know, woke up and he said, you know what, I made up my mind, I'm going to go back to Medina. So one of the people debated him and he said what to him? Look at this idiot, look what he said to him. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, O commander of the faithful, atafirru min qadarillah, are you fleeing from the qadar of Allah? Isn't Allah wrote everything, right? Are you running away from the qadar of Allah? Why don't you go to that place where there is the plague? You know what Umar said to him? I'm seeking the means. I'm running away from the qadar of Allah, and I'm going away to also qadar Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we seeking the means also is within the qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, one of the companions, his name is Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and that portion of the story in Sahih Imam Muslim, he came in the morning and he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I actually heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, if you hear of a plague in a town, don't enter it. And if you're there, don't come out. So he kind of confirmed what Umar concluded on his own. Walhamdulillah. You know, that shows you also, Eddie, something about Islam. The quarantine, the system which is the non-Muslims. The best non-Muslim secular system in the morning is adopting the quarantine which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Islam introduced 1451 years ago. Can you imagine this?
Amazing.
Huh? America. 51 years ago. Imagine this. Okay. And one more thing, Eddie. One more thing. Do you know why the whole thing of coronavirus was caused? I mean, in a city called Wuhan, right? Or Wuhan in China.
Why would you say?
Because what were they eating? Huh? What were they eating? Things which Allah told us not to eat. It's like, isn't that beautiful? Things which Allah told us not to eat. You know, a lot of people, they know this verse that when the Jewish rabbi came to the Prophet and he said, there is a verse in your book, Hadith al-Bukhari, Eddie. There is a verse in your book. If it was revealed upon us Jews, we would have taken the day on which this verse was revealed, the day of Eid. So Umar said to the Jewish rabbi, which verse? Today I completed the religion for you. You know this verse, this is not the verse, by the way. This is like the ending of the verse. You know how this verse begins? How does it begin? حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل لغير الله به والمنخنقة والموقودة. It is unlawful for you to eat the dead meat. The meat that is not slaughtered according to... Imagine. And then Allah says, I completed the religion for you. I told you what to eat and what not to eat. And that's another beauty of Islam. You know, that you're conducting your life in a way the creator, the maker, the one who made you, wants you to do it. And that's the beauty, that Islam is a beauty, Eddie, at all times, especially at these times. Believers now, I'm telling you, are the most, the strongest. But that strength comes from Allah, so not because of them.
Yeah.
That comes from Allah in facing this because of their iman, because of their faith.
Just a few more questions. Going back to what you were saying about the what they were eating in Wuhan, what specifically were they known for eating in this area?
A Chinese woman eating a whole bat at a fancy restaurant has gone viral as China and other countries in the world are trying to contain the spread of the Wuhan virus, codenamed 2019-nCoV.
They were eating snakes.
Uh-huh.
They were eating khufash. I don't know what's the name of that khufash in Arabic. They were eating moving things. We cannot eat that.
Yeah.
You see, they were eating scorpions.
Yeah.
They were eating dogs.
Uh-huh.
They were eating cats. We don't eat that.
So this is all prohibited in Islam
to
eat any of these animals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why, Eddie? You know, when you go and buy a car,
yes,
a manual, they give you a manual, right?
Yeah.
Who made your body?
The Creator, Allah.
Then Allah knows what is good for this body, so, right?
Yeah.
He given you the manual too, right? So, the manual is there for you. Eat this, do not eat that. And that is why Muslims should be, subhanallah, Salman al-Farisi, this is the one who recommended, by the way, that trench, that idea of the trench. Seems like our night is the night of the trench. He's the one who recommended the trench to the Prophet ﷺ. He met a virgin like him. Al-Halif Sari, Imam Muslim. So he said to him, man, your religion teaches you everything, even how to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any secular Muslim now, I don't know if there is such a thing called secular Muslim, but any progressive Muslim, and I don't know what does it mean either. I mean, I have a Mac, and if you go Mac, you can go back. You know that. Yeah. I have iPhone, I have 11, alhamdulillah. Is that what progressive means? I don't know what does it mean progressive these days. But any progressive Muslim now say, oh, no, I don't do that. You know, this is only for the guys who are really into the religion. I don't. We'll run away from being. No, you know what he said to him, Salman? Yes, Amarana, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us to enter the bathroom with our left feet, and not to use our right hand cleaning ourselves. And he told us to do at least 3 times in order to clean ourselves. And not imagine he's describing to him how to do number two. He's proud,
mm-hmm.
proud of his religion of Islam. Right now, Muslims, unfortunately, they shy away from the best religion in the face of this earth, which offers them how to deal with this pandemic, Eddie, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's interesting you mentioned that, because just from that small thing that we would think is small, it would have prevented so many people almost killing themselves for toilet paper.
Because of the 100%.
Because of if they knew how to properly cleanse themselves, people knew how to cleanse themselves in the bathroom.
When I went to the store, I didn't find toilet paper. So you know what I told myself? Alhamdulillah, we can go back to the,
Alhamdulillah.
I mean, when I was raised up, I never had toilet papers.
Yeah. So from the small things to the big things, the small thing is, you know, we're also another great thing that someone can pull from this is that someone who's been struggling, because sometimes, you know, Islam allows people to have their space, respecting women to such a high level, and women who've been struggling and men also worrying about offending someone of the opposite gender. Now they can just say Corona.
that's another thing. You know,
right.
That's another thing.
You could just say Corona.
Right now, Eddie, there are certain things, if you would talk about them, you are a fanatic.
Uh-huh.
You know, imagine the hadith is authentic, man. Wallahi, nobody can debate its authenticity. It's better for you to be stabbed with a needle than to shake a hand of opposite gender, not lawful for you. Alhamdulillah, now we don't have to do it. Corona. You know.
Yes.
Another thing that I read this morning. We have that act that after we say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I think it came from Egypt, because I was brought up with this, and the person would shake your hand and will say Haram. you know, haram. So that's again another thing that disappeared from the masajid, which is beautiful because it really has no basis that you're supposed to engage in astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. You're not supposed to engage in handshaking, and that's beautiful, all, but you can do this after the adhkar outside. But they made it part of the salah that you have to, now you don't have to do it anymore. So it's all good. Alhamdulillah.
I want to end with this one story, and we can end with this, inshallah. Is where once, this is in Tirmidhi. And you can go ahead and take it from here once I finish putting these two together, that once the Prophet he went to see a young man who was on his deathbed, and he asked him, how do you feel? The young man said, I have much hope from Allah, but I also have fear of my sins. The Prophet said, the believer who has these two ideas simultaneously at such time, Allah fulfills his hopes and grants him security from his fear. So now, can you go ahead and explain this? Because a lot of people, they'll have this one over the other, but this is a perfect balance.
The hadith is narrated by Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. And the hadith in Musnad Ahmad wa Sunan Abi Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into a house where there is a young man dying. He asked him, كيف تجدك? How do you feel, young man? A young man, by the way. He said, Ya Rasul Allah, O Messenger of Allah, أرجو الله وأخاف ذنوبي. My banking is on Allah. My hope on Allah. My hope is on Allah. No other. My hope is not on my good deeds. Is not in my good deeds. You're getting that?
Yes.
And I'm not afraid of Allah, but I'm afraid of the consequences of my sins. You see, that short statement reflects that this person possesses the right belief system. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commented by saying, no believer in that particular, because you see, we always live between fear and hope, Eddie. And while you're alive and healthy and wealthy and well off, your wing of fear should be up than or more than the wing of hope. But while you're dying, your wing of hope must be up. And this is exactly what this young boy or young man stated, that listen, my hope is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is in his mercy. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 3 days, and the one who narrated this hadith is Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, في صحيح الإمام البخاري, he said, I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم 3 days before his death saying, لا يموتن أحدكم إلا وهو يحسن الظن بربه. None of you should die unless or until he has high hopes regarding Allah, so good expectation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's doing this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in an authentic hadith could see that I'm the way my slave think of me, and عند ظن عبدي بي. So he is doing that, and he's afraid of the sins that he is having. And that should be our attitude. Mm-hmm. Have your hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah can save you, that Allah can save your family, that Allah can save your ummah. But what about this, you know? Make a promise, you know? And there is nothing wrong with that, by the way. Akrima, Idi, the son of Abi Jahl, you know, after his father was killed in Badr, Akrima became so furious, so angry, that he attacked the Prophet ﷺ right and left. The 8th year after Hijrah, when the Prophet came conquering Mecca, he named Akrima to be taken care of. Akrima ran away because he knew that he will be held accountable, not like the others. The others are forgiven, like Yusuf said to his brothers. But Akrima, no, I'm going to get him. Akrima got on a ship, and Akrima is on sailing with a group of non-Muslims, and a thunderstorm erupted. The storm the ship is about to sink. Everybody is about to drown. Imagine the captain of the ship called upon everybody on board. He said, guys, you know, these stones, these created beings that you're worshiping, cannot help you here. The only one who can help you is Allah. So call upon Allah. Imagine what Ikrimah did. Oh Allah, if you save me tonight, if you save me today, I will go back to the messenger of Allah and I will become a Muslim and I will work for Islam. I will make it up. This is what we want from every Muslim who's hearing you tonight, Eddie, and hearing me and hearing. Make a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if Allah would save you from that COVID-19, what will you do? There's nothing wrong with that. Ikrimah did it. Mm-hmm. But be truthful. Don't be plastic about it. Be truthful. Really mean it.
Yeah.
You know what Ikrimah? Ikrimah went back and the Prophet forgave him and he accepted Islam. You know, he was dying in a battle called the Yarmouk, bringing Islam to the Roman Empire, the border of Turkey. He was dying at the end of this battle, you know, and he was looking at the people around him and he was telling them, أَتِلْكَ مِيتَةٌ تُرْضِي عَنِّي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Imagine this. If Rasulullah would see me dying like this, you think he would be happy that I have made up for the time? We call upon every believer, make a promise that if Allah saves you, save the ummah, save your family, that you will change. You will be a better Muslim. You will serve this deen. You will make a better commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's, you know, we all should do that. Mm-hmm. And this is in a way, you're repenting. Because listen, what we have now because of a sin, whether it is my sin, I'm not saying I'm innocent, whether it is your sin, his sin, their sin, collective sin, there is a sin. The Prophet said that any affliction like this, any collective disaster like this, doesn't come down unless there is a sin. And the only way for it to be lifted and removed, be tawbah. You make tawbah. Mm-hmm. And this is one way to make tawbah, that you say, oh Allah, I haven't been praying 5 times. I'm going to pray 5 times. Oh Allah, I haven't been giving da'wah. I'm going to give da'wah. Oh Allah, I haven't been helping the ummah in the masjid. I'm going to give them, I'm going to help the needy. I'm going to help the poor. I'm going to be nice to my neighbors. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to stop harming people. Just make a promise, any promise, anything. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us, ya Rabbil Alameen.
Ameen. Beautiful. We end on that. And that was the story to really have people reflecting. Hope in your creator, being optimistic, but at the same time, using this as a reality check to check ourselves. Like you said, if you're not praying, connecting with your creator, minimum 5 times a day, making tawbah, staying away from the things that are harmful for you in society, pornography, gambling, selling alcohol, indulging in drugs and nightclubs and all of the vices that are out there that are destroying you and your family to society, living by the blueprint sent for all of mankind, this deen, submission to the creator, not the creation, Islam. And that's how we can strike a beautiful balance. And inshallah, that's how we can be successful in this life and definitely attaining Jannah with Allah's mercy in the next. Thank you, Shaykh, for sharing your time with us and going over this with us.
Jazakallah khair, Eddie. Keep up the faith, man. Be firm. Hey, listen, if I don't see you in this world, we're going to see in Jannah, okay?
Inshallah.
Inshallah, in Jannah. Listen, that's the beauty. Yeah. If I don't see you guys in this world, we're going to see you in Jannah.
Inshallah.
That's the attitude of a believer, man. Our next meeting can be Jannah, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Eddie.
Barakallah. Wa
people, are you ready for the deen?